Congressman Peter Welch, the only congressman in all of the great state of Vermont at large in office since 2007. Peter, I want to talk to you about, you know, health care and the Affordable Care Act. Is it done for?
No. But what has happened is that Trump and in the Congress, the Republican leadership in Congress, like Paul Ryan, they've pivoted from their failure to repeal health care to being hell-bent on sabotaging it. And it's very, very destructive. They're trying to kill it by 1,000 cuts. You know, the Trump administration is getting rid of risk adjustment payments. Now, that may sound obscure, but basically what it means is that when some insurance companies get people who have high bills and other insurance companies get lucky and have low bills, they make an adjustment within the pool. And that's what insurance is. The president has blocked that, and it's going to result in significantly higher premiums, not so much on lower-income Americans, but on middle-income Americans. That's who the Trump policy is going to hurt. The Trump administration is substantially diminishing the group of people called navigators who help Americans decide which plan makes sense for them. So they're trying to reduce enrollment. They got rid of the individual mandate. You know, and I've always felt, since I'm a strong supporter of universal care, everybody should have access to health care. I also think every one of us should help pay for it. And that's what the individual mandate was. It's based on your ability to pay. So, you know, they went from trying to repeal Obamacare more than 70 times to the sabotage effort after they failed initially. And they've never come up, and this is on the president, with ways to address what is an ongoing problem in healthcare, and that's how terribly expensive it is. I don't know if you just saw these stories about hospitals that you bring your child in because they fell and hit their head and you're worried. Well, in addition to whatever test they take, you get a fee from the hospital for, quote, the trauma team for like $10,000 or $15,000. Well, who can pay that? And if you have insurance and it pays some of it, it still means we're all paying for it in higher premiums. So the president was focused on supposedly cost when he was focusing on prescription drugs, but he completely abandoned it. That's where we should be working together. We've got to bring the cost down.
Peter Welch, I want to go to somewhat of an ancillary subject, and that is something that we're not hearing an awful lot about, except when it comes to the Supreme Court nominee. We have a pretty good idea where Judge Kavanaugh might be on all of this, and that's the question of abortion. Are you concerned that a woman's right to choose will be abrogated?
I am. I am. I definitely am. It's a strong agenda item for many in the Republican Party. The president has said he wants to eliminate abortion. You know, he has private conversations with potential nominees. So I do share that concern.
It's a concern, all right. But how concerned should the women who, you know, may face this in this country be? I think people sort of write it off that Roe v. Wade is established law and that nothing will change.
All kinds of things have been changing. I think if you're concerned about being pro-choice, having the right to your own reproductive decisions, I think you should be concerned about this Supreme Court.
Okay, I want to go to a different place if we can, and that is the leadership of the House of Representatives. You know, there's been great to-do. The Republicans certainly tried very hard to demonize Nancy Pelosi, and one would have to assume to some degree it worked out for them. And now we have at least one very progressive candidate in New York City winning and displacing a long-term political operator, Joe Crowley. Operator may not be the right word, but a long-term political important person. What do you make of that?
I make of it that there's a lot of gross activity wanting the Democratic Party to be very responsive to the needs of working Americans. But, you know, it's not just the extraordinary victory of Alexandria Ocasio over Joe Crowley. It's Conor Lamb in Pennsylvania. And, the personal stories of each of them is very, very different. But both of them were speaking to the concerns of their district in different ways, but united on an advocacy for economic justice. So my view is that we can have a big tent in the Democratic Party. It's essential for us, in my view, to have that. But our unity is where we want economic aspiration and progress for everybody.
So does it connote the possibility of a fracture within the Democratic Party as the liberals and the more moderates take each other on?
We have to make certain that doesn't happen, because where there's unity is on the economic aspirations that have been neglected for so long. In other words, you go into the Ocasio district in the Bronx, or Connor Lamb's district in western Pennsylvania, and folks are working hard and making less than they did 15 or 20 years ago. They didn't get a raise. And both of them, I thought, spoke quite eloquently to that situation. And, you know, the demographics in both districts are way, way different. But the common aspiration that many of Hispanics in the Bronx and many of the white working class folks in Connor Lamb's district had are similar. They want to be able to get a decent paycheck. They want to be able to have a decent community that's safe, schools that are good, opportunity for their kids. That's very, very strong, and that's traditionally been where Democrats have been. When we're focused and when we're focusing on getting things done, that's where we live. So I really think it's fantastic what we're seeing in these primaries. And I do see there to be a very unifying theme to take on the economic aspirations of the people who really have been left behind.
But to circle back from where we started here, I take it that you are still in support of Speaker Pelosi running the House.
We're going to have a big discussion about leadership. And for me, it's less who is our leader and more how we're led. Because I think there's two challenges we have to face as a party, and anybody who's going to be running, including Nancy Pelosi, I think is going to have to answer for the Democratic caucus a couple of questions. Number one, we've got to decentralize power out of the Speaker's office and get it back into the committees. And that's not just an inside baseball kind of game. It's something I learned when I was in the state legislature, in the state Senate. You know, I was Senate president. And we were passing a big health care bill, and I had a lot to say about who got on what committees. And I appointed some of the committee chairs who were Republicans. And some people down here, they can't believe I did that, and they say, oh, Peter, you're a good guy. I said, it has nothing to do with being a good guy. It has to do with wanting to get something done. And what I saw was that when you had committees that were empowered and you actually made a real effort to work with the other party so they had an honest seat at the table, the prospects of getting something done and keeping it done were enhanced immensely. And I want to see our leadership, whoever it is, commit themselves to empowering our committees and making their level best on solid legislation to find folks on the other side of the aisle who are willing to work with us. So that's one. And then secondly, we've got to focus on an economic agenda. And, you know, the things that we need to do, bringing down the cost of health care, a real infrastructure plan that's paid for, net neutrality, things like that are long overdue to be front and center on our agenda. And if we're focusing on them, then as opposed to just who's in charge, who's on first, I think we can be very successful as a Congress. And by success, I mean doing things that are going to make things better for everyday people.
Okay, we're out of time, but I do want to say I disagree with you about one thing you've said, and I'm pretty vehement in that, and that is that I think you are a good guy. And we've been talking, of course, with Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat at large in office in 2007, and one of the great hopes of our democracy. Thanks for being with us, Peter.
Thanks, Alan.